Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Straight Talk with Stan Macklin. We're so glad you tuned in to the broadcast today. Got a real good program. You say, well, you say that all the time. I'm supposed to say that because I believe it. I believe it. And we really do have a real good program today. And why don't you call your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, and let them know that Straight Talk is on the air with Stan Macklin. And just give them our wonderful number, which is 347-850-1598, 347-850-1598, and we'll be more than glad to hear you. And want to say we really appreciate our new listeners that are listening. You know, a lot of people may stumble upon the program, but you keep on surfing. I don't think you'll be surfing away from this program, but we come on every Wednesday, and normal time is from 3 to 3:30, but there are certain Wednesdays where we're on from 4:30 to 5. But we're on there, and we're so glad to come your way. But I want to open up our program today with a wonderful announcement. I tell you, when I heard this announcement, it brought tears to my eyes. I literally cried. And I'm going to reveal it to you. Maybe you already know. But what it is, it's official. Yes, it is. It is official. Harriet Tubman will be replacing Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill. Hallelujah. I'm so glad about that. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Had some technical difficulties there. I hope I'm still on the air. I'm going to take a break, and then I'll come right back with some continuing news about Harriet Tubman being on the $20 bill. All right, I'm glad to be coming right back. Just needed to take that little break there. This is Stan Macklin on Straight Talk, and as I stated, it's official. Harriet Tubman is now going to be replacing Andrew Jackson on the $20 bill. Secretary of Treasury Andrew Lou made that official announcement. They went into deliberation about it, and the vote came down to Harriet Tubman. And I know that there's some people that wish that there could have been some other renowned, and they are all renowned women, such as Eleanor Roosevelt, Man Child Killer, and Rosa Parks. But Harriet Tubman is who it is. Now, of course, I'm a little biased because I happen to be president of the Harriet Tubman Cultural Center. So, of course, I'm excited about it, and wherever I could put in a plug and for that advocacy of her being there, I did as such, and now I'm just so happy that that will happen, and you'll be getting more information about that because it's just the right thing to do, and to have women on our currency, and it's not just going to be Harriet Tubman on a $2 bill, but I think on the $10 bill there's going to also be some other renowned women. But anyway, let's talk about the news that's at hand here in terms of current events. Maybe you don't know, but all eyes are on New York. That's right. All eyes are on New York. Why? Because New York is where Donald Trump and Mrs. Hillary Clinton, they celebrated their huge, and I'll say it, they celebrated their huge victories in the primary last night. As you know, Donald Trump was boldly proclaiming that he has a home court advantage and he's going to win. Well, he did win. And Ted Cruz, as a matter of fact, he came in dead last. And Governor Kasich came in second place. But it was a powerful move by Donald Trump, and it looks like he's on his way to clinching the nomination. And, of course, we know the establishment does not like that. And it's speculative as to what kind of presidency would he have. I don't know. He seems to be so diversive. But maybe business as usual needs to happen. Maybe things need to be shaken up, but I just can't see it. I can't see it. Maybe I don't want to see it. But he's still the front runner, and he's still winning. And, of course, Hillary, she just claimed the victory, too, in New York. As a matter of fact, it seemed like she's well on her way, even though Sanders won the last 8 primaries. He won it. But she seems like she's single-handedly in position to win the nomination. So I ask you the question, is it possible that there can be a Trump-Clinton contest? We don't know. We'll have to see. Who knows what's going to happen at the convention? Who's going to emerge? We just don't know. There's a lot of things that are done, I have to say, behind the scenes that we don't even know about. But that's the reality. All eyes are on New York. And, of course, they are really celebrating their massive victories in the primaries last night. And we'll have to continue to be tuned in to see what's yet forthcoming. Also, too, there's the surprising news of the 5-year-old Georgian student who was disciplined by school administrators with a wooden paddle. Now, I thought that corporal punishment was a thing of the past, but evidently there are some school districts that still don't take nonsense for granted, and the way they deal with it is through the use of corporal punishment. But the 5-year-old Georgia student, who was disciplined by the school administrators with the wooden paddle, has stirred a controversy over the use of corporal punishment. What do you think? Is it corporal punishment or is it child abuse? You have some insight on that. How would you feel? You send your 5-year-old child to school and the 5-year-old is undisciplined to the extent that the school administrators have to take discipline in their own hands and they use a wooden paddle to bring some discipline his way, 5 years old. Now, when I was growing up in school, that's what they used, wooden paddles. As a matter of fact, they even had holes in them, I guess, so that when they swatted you, it would suck in your cheeks. Yes, that's right. It would suck in your cheeks, and my, did it sting. And I have to admit, I had my fair share. I sure did. I had my abnormal amount of fair share, I believe. I remember one time, one of my teachers swatted me 20 times. That's right, 20 times. And, of course, I didn't survive the 20 times. My nose started bleeding. But was it corporal punishment or was it child abuse? In my case, I think it was child abuse. But that's what happened. That's what I went through. Yes, I did. And this incident that happened there in Georgia has stirred up a controversy. And it's a big debate going on. Should they use corporal punishment, or is it just right out diabolical child abuse? I don't know. Dude, what do you think about it? Give us a call, 347-850-1598. How would you feel if that was your child, that happened to your child? What would you do? Would you be up in the air about it? I don't know, but I believe you wouldn't just idly sit by and just let it have taken place and you didn't say anything. Well, maybe you should say something. But this is what happened there in Georgia. Yes, it did. That's it. Well, that's not all that's going on. You know, there's so much going on, sometimes you can't keep up with all of these things that's going on. But what's your take? What do you think? By 2050, that's 2050. Now, bear in mind, it's 2016 now. But what's your take? By 2050, the geographical makeup of this country is going to be drastically changed. Yes. Yes, by 2050, the United States will have the highest Spanish-speaking population in the world. What did you say? I think I'll say it again. By 2050, the United States of America will have the highest Spanish-speaking population in the world. And the question is, should Spanish be a mandatory course in school? What do you think about that? Well, here's what I think. I think it most certainly should. I think you should, because if America is going to be the recipients of the largest Spanish-speaking population in the world, then I think we need to be able to communicate, Hispanic brothers and sisters. What harm can it do? If it could do anything, it'd do some help. Yeah. I think that it should be a mandatory course in schools. Because, you know, I'm African American. That's right. Or let me make it a little plainer. I'm an African that happened to be born in America. English is not my native language. It's not. It's definitely not my mother tongue. It's right. And English is something that here in America is the universal language. But we have a high concentration of Latino, Hispanic brothers and sisters that are here. And by 2050, by the fact that it's documented it's going to be the largest Spanish-speaking population in the world, we just need to be able to communicate. So what does that mean? That means that you need to not just have English to the place where you can't talk no other language. That's right. I'll say it again. You need to learn some other language. And why not Spanish? Why not? There's nothing wrong with being bilingual or multilingual. Because the world has come here to America. And by then, that community will be a vast community here in America. And so Spanish should be, of course, in our schools. I'm all for that. I think that's important. I think it's imperative. You ask me what my mother tongue is, and I can't tell you. It's definitely not English. No, it's not. So I think it's quite all right. And what else? A federal judge on Tuesday approved an agreement. This is really historic. A federal judge on Tuesday, he approved agreement. What kind of agreement? Well, he approved an agreement between the United States Justice Department and the city of Ferguson, Missouri, to reform their city police department. A pact which has been which was promoted by the 2014 shooting of an unarmed black teenager that sparked a violent protest. And what this agreement does is it means that it's not going to be business as usual. And the city agreed to adhere to this here pact because they didn't want the Justice Department to interfere with the city's finances. So they're trying to comply. And there are some provisions about this because what this here, this requires Ferguson Police Department to undergo bias awareness training. And the department must implement an accountability system. So this is wonderful. This is wonderful because Ferguson gets an F. That's right, an F for failure to really serve and to protect its citizenry and to have an inclusive police department. I think it was a third of their budget was built on the backs of fines and debts, a dealer's debt, and that was just uncalled for, such high city services rendering debt, people in debt and couldn't pay their fines and would wind up going to jail. So this is something that's going to have to happen. I think that reform is needed, not only just there in Ferguson, but I think a reform is needed to promote this agreement between the U.S. Justice Department and the Ferguson, Missouri Police Department, because part of this here reform is that it requires to undergo bias awareness training. And the facts is there. Yes, the chickens have come home to roost concerning the biasness that existed within the department. And not only that, but there had to be massive amount of house cleaning. Yes, it was the city manager had to go. The police chief had to go. This was a lot of clean up and clean out to make things a little better, appealing and attractive. And that's one. And I think that is really great that the department must implement an accountability system, because you cannot just allow PDs to be unaccountable. You say, well, accountable to who? They should be accountable to a citizenry. You say to serve and to protect. You can't just underrepresent the people that you're supposed to be representing and not serving them in a way where you're just profiteering off of them. That's not right. That's not proper. No. And so that must stop. That must stop. An accountability system will be in place. And several cities have already entered into the police reform pacts. Well, you say, well, which ones have? Well, there's Seattle, Washington. They've instituted a real good police reform pact. They have. And Seattle, Washington's on the cutting edge of a lot of things. As a matter of fact, they even have a $15 living wage. So good for Seattle. And not only Seattle, Washington, but also Albuquerque, New York, New Mexico. They have to also implemented these. I think that as the word gets out, I think a lot of communities will be doing things like this here. It's so important. It's very important, because you cannot allow the PDs just to have a free hand in doing whatever they want to do without any scrutiny. No, that's just not going to be the way it should be. It should not be like that. It should not. So I'm really excited that this federal judge. Now, you know, sometimes a judge's ruling can be overturned. It can be appealed. But we're hoping that this will stick so that real community development and change can take place in Ferguson. Ferguson has suffered so much and has been the heartbeat of the nation in terms of race relations, in terms of community development. And to leave something like this here unchecked is not just enough. There needs to be some real hands-on to make a difference. And I know that they just got a new police chief. And so hopefully he'll do the right thing and will insist that citizenry participation will not just be taken for granted, but it will work to help a much better Ferguson. The eyes of the nation saw what things that were happening there, and our people were belittled, bemoaned, and just disregarded, and just became a debtor's court. We know that Americans can do better. Yes, they can. They can do much better. They really can. So we welcome the U.S. Justice Department agreement, and we hope that it will be adhered to so that some real positive change can come. And, you know, it's amazing how sometimes you got to go through the fire. You call it trial and error. For real change to come, real change to take place. It's unfortunate that sometimes it has to be almost a tragedy for things to happen before people wake up and smell the coffee And I'm not for anybody adhering to acts of violence that just perpetuates further additional violence. Let's clean this city up. Let's get this city on par. Let's do the right thing. Let's not tiptoe around what needs to be done, because it makes a difference, and that's what it's all about. It makes a difference, and we want that to take place. We really, really do. We want to see this municipality move from an F status in terms of failure to an A status, where they're alert to what's going on in the community. They are on top of it, and that the citizens are reviewing what actually takes place in their communities. It just makes a difference, and that helps a city to really major in betterment, being better, they feel, is the norm. No, that's not going to cut the mustard. It's not, and we want change to come in a very positive way. Change that comes to the extent that it really empowers individuals to move beyond the nonchalant and to move into the realm of doing the right thing. That's what it's all about, and we want to work at that to make a difference. And that's what it's all about, making a difference. So, there's been a lot going on, and we definitely want you to be informed instead of ill-informed. Know what's going on in your community. Know what you can do to make a difference. And know how you can do that. And one way you can do that is by listening. That's what God gave us two ears and one mouth for, is to listen. And this has been Stan Macklin with Straight Talk. Straight Talk comes on every Wednesday. Yeah, it's a current event. We're here for you to share and to make a difference in your day, in your neighborhood, your neck of the woods. And that comes about by listening. And so we want to continue to do that, because it is important. Yes, it is. So there it is, brothers and sisters. You have the current events of this week. Yes, where we know that change is definitely primary elections. We know it is, and we want to continue to not resist it, but to allow it to take place. And it seems like it's narrowing down on the Republican side out of a candidacy of 17 different candidates. Wow, that's a lot. That's a lot. Who is narrowing it down to where as victory is getting ready to take place. And we're so glad about that. And, of course, as we seek and look for victory, there's always going to be challenges that come our way, such as what we said earlier about the young 5-year-old boy who was disciplined by school administrators with a wooden paddle and just started controversy over the use of, should there be corporal punishment? Or is this simply just child abuse? You be the judge of it. You know. But I tell you one thing. Times have changed. And you got to make sure that you know what you're doing. Let's welcome diversity. Diversity is key. And I'm sure by 2050, we'll be able to enjoy the wonders of diversity by the being the highest Spanish-speaking population in the United States. Well, my brothers and sisters, it's been another good program. And again, I want to say, don't be concerned about the outlook. It's the uplook that makes a difference. And keep on keeping on. Have a good day.